The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
We'll get into one of our interviews, albeit much later than we should have. So this morning, joining us, you know, there's a lot of focus on the steel pan. We've been focusing on it a lot. The entire world has been focusing on the steel pan. And our discussions this morning, pretty interesting women involved in the steel pan movement. And joining us this morning to give us an idea of what's going on in that department, let's welcome to our program music coordinator for Shell Invaders, that's Desiree Myers. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Satish, and good morning to Trinidad and Tobago.
It's nice to have you with us here this morning.
It's nice to be here.
Albeit, you know, we had, they say, what can go wrong will go wrong this morning.
Just roll with it.
Yeah, one of those mornings, but nice to have you with us here.
It's nice to be here this
Let's
morning.
Begin by familiarizing our listeners with you. Tell us a bit about yourself and your involvement with this instrument.
Well, of course, you just mentioned my name and my position, and I am the music coordinator of Shell Invaders Steel Orchestra, one of the oldest steel orchestras in the world. And I feel very privileged to be a part of our legendary steel orchestra that holds so much of history with respect to the whole steel band movement. And I think you would have known of Dr. Ellie Manette, who was the father of Invaders. And I mean, when you step foot into Invaders Panyard, you are on holy ground. Under the breadfruit tree, we were known as Oval Boys back from then to now. And I mean, the band has really grown and progressed in a spectacular way, so to speak. And as a female leader there, you know, the respect that I get there is, I mean, I can't ask for anything more. It's, we have a lot of youths. We have a youth steel orchestra. We have a senior band. And it is totally enjoyable because I started as a young person and I'm still young, you know, in the band. I joined in 1989 to present. I'm still there up to now.
Well, what exactly do you do?
I play pan.
Okay, so yes. It says you're the coordinator. So
yes.
What is that title?
So basically, okay, so I'll say what I play. I play four pan cello and the music coordinator is the person who's in charge of basically the music, as in putting it together, making sure that we have a repertoire that is always repertable whenever we go there. It's in charge of the music coordinator is also seeks to look for the best tuner for the band and also the arrangers for the kind of music that we would like to put forward in order for you to enjoy. And she or he just makes sure that everything is well organized or coordinated, so to speak.
So would I say stage manage, like a stage manager? Is that correct?
A bit of it. We have an operations manager who basically handles that, but I am more in tune with the players, so to speak.
And coordinator is different from arranger.
Yes, definitely. Yes, definitely.
It's amazing the number of titles that you have. Yes. Because when you think of a steel band and pan and that kind of thing, you don't necessarily think of all of these nuances that are there that make up this sound that people just go and they enjoy.
Correct. There is a lot that goes on that, I mean, as you said, people don't really know that goes on behind the scenes. I mean, steel band now is like, it's an organization. You have a board of directors, you have a management team. That's how it is. That's how we are structured. We have a board of directors, we have a management team. Our management team is made up of a managing director, operations manager, music coordinator, secretary, financial officer, properties manager, and a marketing communications manager. All of these things they have to put into place in order for us to have an overall presentation for you.
Yeah, well, that is wow. And the reason why I say wow is that you don't necessarily think that it is as intricate as you're outlining to us. Many people think, well, I like to play Panorama, just join a group and we practice on our Friday, Saturday, and Panorama, we show up and all, we play wherever we are playing, we call our George and move on. But it's a well-organized, structured business.
Yes.
At least it should be.
It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. Especially around Panorama time. Sleepless nights. But you know what? It's for the joy of the instrument. Just being a part of the culture. Just being around people, watching how they enjoy it, watching how they play and they enjoy it. You have players who come from different walks of life. And when they come together, you know, that's like 120 players plus that I have to coordinate and be in charge of. I mean, it's just a joy, it's a blessing. And you have to know how to deal with people also too. You know, not everybody, clearly you have different personalities. And it's about bringing all of us under one umbrella and making sure that everybody do what they have to do the way they're supposed to do it. Because when that arranger comes and he says, make sure everything is in place for me, I have to make sure everything is in place for him in order for him to put on a credible job for us.
As somebody who's been involved with the steel pipe for such a long period of time, what did it mean to you when the UN allocated August 11th as International Pan Day?
I mean, that was... how can I say? A feeling of, as I said in an interview the other day, I felt grateful for something like that. I mean, a sense of pride and a sense of joy to know that you are recognized, so to speak, with this beautiful God bless instrument that we have. But then, you know, what's next? Where do we go from here? And how can we keep that recognition? You know what I mean? Because, I mean, I feel proud to be a pan woman. We have a lot of pan women out there. I mean, the steel band industry now has so many female persons in it in compared to how it used to be a long time. And that sense of pride and joy, you know, it's just indescribable, you know. And I felt really, really good on that day. But I want to continue feeling good. I wish that the radio stations and they could be more involved with playing a lot of the steel pan music, pretty much, because, you know, we tend to be so proud when we go out there to showcase. People tend to ask you when you travel, oh, the steel pan, do you play pan? You know, because they know that instrument came from Trinidad and Tobago, and they like to ask you, do you play pan? And you tend to feel really proud to know that people on the outside, they recognize it so much. And in as much as I play pan, the thing about it is that for me, besides the fact of being the music coordinator, it's a joy to be a panist, to be a player. I love it. Heart and soul, yeah.
We've had a number of discussions about this development prior to the actual day, on the actual day and subsequent. The act by UN in declaring August 11th International Pan Day, World Pan Day, presents to this little tiny nation a world of possibilities.
Yes.
Because international days carry with them a lot of activity. And it now sets the stage for persons involved in the industry to capitalize on this platform, this international platform, and turned into something magnificent. With other international days, you see a worldwide movement. There are rallies and events and all of these things, not just on the day, but leading up to the day. Some people have a whole month for a day on all of these things. Do you believe we have the capacity?
Well, this whole month, as a matter of fact, is Steel Band Month. So you have Steel Band activities for the entire month of August. Are you aware of, they have the Pan on the Avenue that's coming up on the 26th. They have Pan and Powder, which is coming up on the 23rd of August. And then you have a lot of steel orchestras that are also having steel band events for this entire month of August. I mean, this entire month of August has always been known as Steel Band Month. But this year we were able to get that recognition, and it's a matter of keeping that recognition and really moving forward in a positive way for some sort of sustainability for the steel man movement. You know what I mean?
Do you think that we have that kind of appreciation for it here at home, to the extent that we should?
We have the appreciation, but more could be done. You know what I mean? I think not enough Trinidadians, they appreciate what they have. And what we have is golden.
Well, why do you think that is?
The steel pan?
Yeah.
It's a magnificent instrument.
No, but why do you think we don't have greater appreciation for it?
I think that people take it for granted. I think that we do at times take our instrument for granted. It's only when you see we go out there, we tend to see how great and how grand and magnificent this instrument is.
One of my pet peeves is that I don't think we do enough to train generations coming up to be patriotic. And that is a big player in the problems that we have. Mm-hmm. And the steel pan is a classic example of that. Every child in this country should be exposed to the steel pan at some form of the education system.
Yes.
Simply because it's ours. And I raised the example, when you're going to secondary school, they buy this recorder that nobody has used, but it's supposed to teach you music.
Yeah.
But whether it works, I can't tell you.
But they have the Pan in the Classrooms project. Yeah, you have a lot of schools who have these steel bands. Steel pans as in their little orchestras or whatever. Then you have a lot of the bands that have youth steel orchestras.
Mm-hmm.
You have Pan at UTT. You have Pan at UE. I mean, we have a lot of young persons who are exposed to it. Like in our steel orchestra, we have a youth steel orchestra, as I told you. And we also have a PDI program where there's the Player Development Initiative. And that is to make our members more all-rounded with respect to arranging, learning arranging, proper arranging, composing, your overall well-being with respect to how you go out there and conduct interviews, how you, the other thing that we do is how you go out there and like public speaking, you know, different things that we do in order to that we're putting in place in order for our players to develop their skills on the instrument to be better panists out there. You know what I mean? And I know of a lot of the other steel orchestras who also have, you know, programs that they put in place for their young people because they are the future. They are the future. And we have a lot of the young ones who love the national instrument. My son, he started to play pan when he was 4.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's 22. And he loves it. And now he's doing arranging. He went to UTT. I mean, so, you know, we have programs in place where to the national instrument. And they love it.
We had discussions last Friday. And I think one of the interesting elements of it was while we speak of pan and we speak of bands and large arrangements and everything else, there is the potential for individuals to take this thing and turn it into a career. We spoke to Johan Chakri and he has traveled across the world and he gave us his experiences as well.
Mm-hmm.
But do enough people see it that way? Do enough people see that, well, this is much more than just for Carnival Monday and Tuesday or for Panorama or everything else. I can't turn this into a lucrative career. And I'll tell you why I'm asking that question. In searching for music last Friday for World Pan Day, you found, yes, a lot of the renditions for Panorama. That's what you find most on YouTube. But you do have persons across the world who have taken this instrument and have added their own genres to it. So it's not just about Carnival Monday and Tuesday. It is no longer on the global stage now with the recognition about Panorama. It's about much more. But do you think we understand the potential that exists?
Some of us do.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody will understand the potential, but I think those who understand it, they take it and they push it and they do what they have to do with respect to the instrument. And you have bands, if not the majority of them, who play outside of Panorama or with their stateside, and they're able to perform at different genres of music. You have the individual panists, the soloists, and they who are on the rise, because, I mean, Johan may be one, but you have other panists who are coming up as in individual panists. You have Kush, Ramsey.
I think we have Regrello on the we have a program called Digital World, and that I think Regrello is on today as well.
So, I mean, you have those young guys who taking it to the other level, you know what I mean, and doing well, really and truly. You have, of course, everybody knows Dane Galston. You know, the person who really started those things back then was Robbie Greenidge, and you have the Len Boosie Sharp, you have Ray Holman, and but you have the young persons now who are coming up in that vein and doing very well.
Yeah, let's talk a bit about some of your ideas on a global stage. What are some of the things you think we should be doing?
On a global stage, that's a good question. We should be doing.
You need to speak into the microphone.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Go ahead.
On a global stage, I think that it should have some more opportunities for bands to go out there and showcase our culture in a big way. People, as in globally, should be more in tuned to what we do here. And I mean, because we have fantastic bands in Trinidad and Tobago who can really go there and do magnificent performances, and with different genres of music, from classical to pop to hip hop. And I mean, you name it, we can do it, because Pan can play any type of music. And it's just about tapping into the market out there to get us more, you know, to be a little more marketable with respect to our instrument and our steel orchestras here.
So let's talk about some of what your steel orchestra is involved in. You had mentioned to me that you have some pretty interesting things coming up.
Oh, yeah, we have some pretty interesting things coming up. One of the things that we have that is known, and we've started that since in 2015 when we celebrated our 75th anniversary, is our Juve, our Republic Juve. It's called Redefining Tradition. Back in the day, Satish Invaders was noted as one of the Juve bands, and back then was pushing on racks, not on your floats. So what we decided to do when we celebrated our 25th anniversary was to bring that whole kind of historical, to reminisce on it and bring it back to Woodbrook. And it has been going on. We did it in 2015. It was out of this world, and people just asked for us, I hope you all having it the next year. And I hope you all having it the next year. So the hope you're having it the next year has, we're having it, this is our 9th year.
Right.
So it's called Redefining Tradition. And basically you're pushing on racks, going around the Oval, up to Grey Street, in the back there by Serpentine Road, Sinclair, and come back and end right back in front of the Oval, in front of Invaders Panyard. But we have the assistance of the Woodbrook bands. We also have additional bands from on the outside who want to be a part of our celebration. That's how we celebrate Republic Day. It's the only massive event you're going to get on Republic Day. Thousands of people turn out to this event. And just for John Public to know, we are having it again this year. And what we're playing is called Apache Invasion. Every year we have some sort of costume, pretty much. So the patrons, they're going to get that again this year. You have the choice of getting a 50% discount on your costume before, but up to August the 31st. So it's $250. After August the 31st, it's a $300 package, which you get a t-shirt, you get a headband, and you get a bag with goodies. You also get a breakfast chit, and then you get opportunity to go into the after party. But one thing you need to know is that on the road there is no music trucks. It's strictly steel pan. And I'm going to call a couple of the bands who are going to be supporting us and who has been supporting us for the couple years, and we're really, really thankful for their support. And that is Starliff, Hardcore Phase 2. We have Brimblers. This year, for the first time, we have On the Road, the Police Steel Orchestra. We also have Desperados, and again, we have Power Stars who are with us, of course, with Invaders on the road. And after that, you then go into the after party, and inside of there, you have BP Renegades and Roadblock Steel Orchestra, and it's only $40. This starts from like 4 a.m. in the morning because it's Juve.
Right.
And it goes up to about 9 on the road, and then we go into the after party, which goes up to like about 1 o'clock. It's a way that Trinidadians, Trinbegonians, we celebrate it in a grand way, and no other way to celebrate it more than with our national instrument.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And the amount of people that comes out to that event just goes beyond the mind. I mean, it's just one of those safe events that you find you have the young and the old coming to have a grand time and to celebrate our Republic Day.
Yeah, definitely great. Great information. Sounds like a worthwhile event. As we wrap up our interview here this morning, for people who want to get more involved in the steel pan, where do you suggest they begin?
They can begin, if you want to get a little more involved, as in with your children or on the whole. With your children?
Yeah, I think with the children.
It's always good to get them in a youth program. I will always talk about my band. We have a youth program, and we have a really good youth program that is, that we have rehearsals on Monday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. And you can, if you are interested, you can call 704-0774. That's Miss Atiyah O'Neill, if you're interested to be a part of the youth program. But I mean, not only about my band, we also have other steel orchestras throughout Trinidad and Tobago who have youth programs. I mean, come out, check the steel orchestra in your area. I mean, go to them, get your children involved, because I mean, they need to know about our national instrument, and it's an enjoyable instrument. It's a safe place, you know. A lot of the panyards are safe places, and just bring them out there and make sure that you enroll them in some sort of a program. And I mean, for the older ones, get more in tune with what's going on, you know, stay on the ground, listen to the media, come out, support bands whenever it is you see that they have any kind of events, be it a paid event or non-paid event, because I mean, your support goes a long way, as in from in your communities, so to speak. And it's a deterrent from the crime, you know. You want to be around a panyard, you want to be involved in the culture, and you want to make sure that you're a part of this whole thing.
Yeah. As we're going to drop the curtain on our interviews, it was my pleasure speaking with you this morning. And there's a lot taking place. People just need to find out what's going on and when it's happening and be a part of it. Thank you once again for being with us here this morning. This is where we drop the curtains on our interview. A couple messages. It's 20 minutes before 9. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
The best insight. Instant feedback. Accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.